The United States Supreme Court today upheld key provisions of the McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform law. The court rejected a constitutional challenge to the law that came from a broad spectrum of organizations. We have several reports today on the ruling. We'll hear from key players on both sides of the issue and how the decision will affect fundraising and spending for the 2004 elections. Our coverage begins with NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
The McCain-Feingold law, named for its Senate sponsors John McCain and Russell Feingold, did two major things. First, it barred political parties and office holders from raising so-called soft money. That's unlimited chunks of campaign cash in the hundreds of thousands of dollars from corporations, unions, and wealthy individuals. Secondly, the law barred corporations, unions, and advocacy groups like the National Rifle Association, the ACLU, and the Sierra Club from using their members' and shareholders' money to fund broadcast ads that target a candidate in the final weeks of a campaign. The court said that the law does not bar anyone from broadcasting such ads, but it does reasonably require that the ads be paid for with limited contributions that are disclosed and made specifically for that purpose. The challengers, corporations, unions, and advocacy groups of all ideological stripes, contended that the law was unconstitutional because it restricted their right of free speech. But today the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 vote, said the law limits corruption, not speech. The principal opinion was written by Justices John Paul Stevens and Sandra Day O'Connor. They were joined by Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg, David Souter, and Stephen Breyer. Dissenting were Chief Justice William Rehnquist and Justices Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas, and Anthony Kennedy. Said Kennedy, "Today's decision breaks faith with our tradition of robust and unfettered debate." The court's majority opinion was in stark contrast to the Supreme Court's last major campaign reform opinion in 1976, when the justices upheld some key provisions of the post-Watergate reform law, but struck down others, in essence cherry-picking the law and making enforcement over the next quarter century often very difficult. This time, the court accepted the complex law as a whole, invalidating only a couple of minor provisions. "We are mindful," said the court, "that Congress enacted the law as an integrated whole to vindicate the government's important interest in preventing corruption and the appearance of corruption." George Washington Law School professor Spencer Overton specializes in campaign finance law.
What this case means is that campaign finance is complex and that the court is largely going to defer to the judgment of Congress, at least with regard to contribution limits and spending by corporations and unions.
Longtime campaign reformer Fred Wertheimer was jubilant.
"This is an enormous victory in the effort to prevent the corruption of our democracy and to prevent huge contributions from being used to unduly influence our office holders."
Opponents of the law didn't try to sugarcoat their loss. It was, they said, a total rout. Lawyer Ken Starr.
"I think it's the court once again mirroring the popular culture. There is a popular sense of a need for reform. We are not going to stand in the way."
Starr said the court majority had dispatched the opponent's objections with what he called Sherman-esque efficiency. For instance, the court said the ban on federal office holders raising big soft money contributions for state parties is also justified to prevent the federal ban on soft money from being circumvented. And in upholding the limits on broadcast advertising in the final weeks of a campaign, the court abandoned the legal line it drew more than a quarter century ago, a line that limited funding for ads that said vote for or against a candidate, but left unregulated the funding for so-called issue ads. These issue ads soon became a euphemism for attack ads, ads that questioned the character, integrity, or judgment of a candidate, but did not expressly call for his or her defeat. As the court observed, sponsors of these issue ads were also able to hide their identity. Citizens for Better Medicare, for example, was not, as its name suggested, a grassroots organization of citizens. It was a cover name for the pharmaceutical industry, and in 2002, the organization spent some $13 million on so-called issue ads that targeted particular candidates. The McCain-Feingold law upheld today has disclosure provisions to prevent such a stealth campaign. In concluding its opinion today, the five-justice majority remarked, "We are under no illusions that this law will be Congress's last word on the matter. Money, like water, will always find an outlet. What problems will arise and how Congress will respond are matters for another day." What the court did today, though, was to give Congress considerable power to address those problems when they do arise. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.